of the good and the way of the magic.
Hello and welcome to... Oh, God, that's not how we start the show. All right, I was looking at the wrong part of the thing. Okay.
Wait, how many things do you have on the one thing? Like, hello, completely separate...
I was looking at the top, I wasn't looking at the intro. So I was like, oh, I just have to intro this my own way. But then I'm like, oh, there's actually something written out here.
All right. Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 98th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this 98th chapter into the Masters of the Universe franchise is, of course, TFG and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
98, sir. 98. That's about how old this series is making me feel.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, because I can't wait until episode 109. Episode 100 and 109 are what I'm excited for. Episode 98 to 108, I could give a shit less.
What happens at 109?
That's when we transition out of this shit and go to good cartoons.
Just making it clear for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So are you ready for another trip to space, sir?
No.
Okay. Well, regardless of if you're ready or not, in this episode of Masters in Space, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of this fantastic series. Episode 46, No Easy Way. Episode 47, The Guns of Nordor. And episode 48, The Bride of Slushhead. So we hope you're ready, because regardless of how you feel, it is time to go back into space.
Next.
All right, first up today is episode 46, No Easy Way, written by Jake Olesker.
You mean Mike? Jack Olesker?
Oh, yeah, Jack. Good old Jack. I'm going to switch his name to Jake, so it feels like we have a different writer for this episode. It's Jack Olesker all three episodes today, guys. That's what we're excited about.
Yeah, no, not really.
So No Easy Way, Mike, what did you think?
A scientist zip. Boo. Oh, God. This is by far the worst episode of the day.
I disagree.
This is stupid. Well, it wouldn't be a TFG and Mike and Optimus Solo production if we didn't disagree with each other, so.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it is a bad episode because of the scientists, and it definitely doesn't have anything to write home about or anything like that, but there is an episode that is far worse that's still to come.
Mm-mm.
So
nope.
I'll tease you with that. But,
it's not as bad as this. Like, well, that episode later today actually has a decent plot. The execution is stupid. The idea is stupid.
You don't know which of the two I'm talking about, first of all.
You leave Chucky out of this. No Easy Way, like, outside of it being a scientist's episode, plants kill everyone, show over, bye, see ya, we can move on to 87 and 2002 now. Like, seriously, they're going to have an episode where plants are the villain, really?
Yeah.
And then
we saw this in He-Man, we've seen this in other series, so, like... It's not super exciting, but...
But this series does it worse than all of those. It really does.
I don't know. I liked the aspect of this episode where they were finding a solution so that the Council of Elders, or whatever they call that group of people, was going to be able to stop spending 100% of their power and time holding up a shield, which is something I never kind of thought about before. Like, you have your most powerful, most intelligent... you know, most important people in your community and your civilization that literally have to spend 100% of their time focusing on the shield. So I liked the idea that they were going to finally be able to stop doing that and help with other things. I thought that was a cool moment.
Yeah. And then we don't need no shield no more. We have the plants. They'll save us. Oh, like that wasn't going to come back to bite them in the ass. Like, I like the idea of that. I agree with you on that part. Problem is, it's an idea that, well, good in theory is horrible in practice. Like, first of all, why the hell are you basically making slave laborers out of these most important people and having, like, these mystical whatever that, like... This show can't decide what it wants to be, either magic or technology. Like, the whole point of the original Filmation He-Man was it was sort of combining magic and technology, because you had Skeletor and Hordak and all that, and the Sorceress and whatever else. Then you had Man-at-Arms and all the Masters and blah 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 with the technology part of it all. this doesn't know which way it wants to go. One week it could be a space adventure to the Death Star. The next week it could be, you know, looking at giant feet in Hogwarts. I don't know. Like, the show.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated that part of it. I kind of liked the back and forth with the shield and the plants and stuff like that. It wasn't something I loved or anything like that, but it definitely didn't irritate me as much as another episode would. Is there anybody in this episode that stood out from you from a positive, negative, or anything like that?
No, and the one thing I will say about... Well, besides the scientists, obviously. The one thing I will say about this, though, the last thing I'll say before we rate in awards and all that, snow seeds, really? That's not how weather works. There are not snow seeds that, like, you can do stuff to the sky, to the clouds, to have it rain or snow, but you can't take actual snow seeds. There's no such fucking thing. I don't care what planet you're on.
How do you really feel?
Oh, my God.
My only other notes about this one was the way of the magic will lead me through an asteroid belt as if I had the Force and my name was Luke Skywalker.
Exactly.
I mean, I know you guys want to be Star Wars. I know this is your attempt to combine He-Man and Star Wars into one thing, but you can't just blatantly do stuff like that. Like, and then apparently they couldn't tell the voice cast what the names of the planets were and stuff like that because half the people are calling the planet Vitrion and the other half are calling it Vitrion or however you said it. They're pronouncing it two different ways. Like, one's Vi and one's Vi. Yeah. So get that straight, too. That bugs me in cartoons when characters pronounce things wrong. So I'm not super high on this one. Like I said, I don't think it's the worst episode because there's one that I'll go off on later. But, I mean, I'm sitting at, like, a 2 on this one.
Straight 0.
Straight 0?
Straight 0.
All right.
Maybe a 0.5. Because of the idea of freeing the scientists, but the execution of it all, straight 0. There's no plot. Like, I after I finished watching this, I'm like, where'd the plot go? Like, did the plot even show up? The plot went home drunk or something. Because, like, there nothing. Straight 0.
I can't go that low. I'm at a 2 on this one. So let's take a break and see where the Guns of Nordor takes us after this.
Screw you guys. I'm getting him. You dick. Later.
Next.
Up next today, episode 47, we're going to the Lord of the Rings and the Guns of Nordor. Again, like I said, written by Jack Olesker, just like the first one, just like the next one will be, which is why we're not super excited about this. So, Mike, what did you think of the Guns of Nordor?
This was better than the last episode, but not by much. They're basically trying to destroy the Guns of Nordor. That's all it is. Because the mutants in Nordor and Gorn City and all that, they have these two giant guns that apparently can fire, like, it's, again, get off of George Lucas's nuts, Jack Olesker. And I can say this now and here because back then, Lucas actually still owned his own shit before the mouse, you know, bought him out. Oh, God. I just don't know anymore.
So basically, there's these guns at Nordor that are going to be fired and wreak havoc on the universe, I guess. That makes no sense to me from a plot standpoint. It's like they wanted to have He-Man and combine it with, like, the threat of nuclear war. Like, trying to create the same type of paranoia or panic attack mode that you would go in, you know, oh, Korea's going to nuke us and the whole world's going to end, or Russia's going to nuke us and this, that, and the other. The Guns of Nordor are going to be fired and God help everybody that's in the way of the Guns of Nordor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it was fine.
There's a giant orange Cheeto that's going to be attacking us now.
It was fine as far as some of the action and some of the character stuff and interactions and whatnot. Like, it wasn't, like, the worst episode I've ever seen, especially compared to the one before it and the one after it. But it was just a blah episode for me. Like, I don't like Jack Olesker. Can I say that?
Sure.
We're not going to get a new. I don't think we're going to get an interview with him.
hmm.
If we do, I apologize.
It's My question is he still living? That's my question, and I know that's really...
I never knew who Jack Lesker was before we did this series.
Nope.
I've never seen his name since. I get it that he's apparently been tasked to write the majority of these episodes, because he's done way more than any other writer here.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. Like, I know in the Filmation He-Man, we talked about a lot of different writers, and like the people that did the most still didn't... only did like maybe a fourth of the episodes or something of that nature. Like a fifth of the episodes was like the most. Jack Lesker's done way over half of these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been burdened to do a lot of this, and I get that he probably doesn't have great stuff to work with, but man, he's just trying to come up with every little way to do Lord of the Rings, do Star Wars, do relate it to all these different things. And like, it's just done in a way that's too obvious and too... instead of just taking an idea and going somewhere else with it, it's just too blatant of a ripoff most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't appreciate this. This is a below average episode once again. Well, I don't mm-hmm. know. What do you think?
Yeah, it really is very much below average. However, it is better than the last one. At least this one had action in it. At least this one had fighting in it. At least this one had all kinds of stuff in it. The man is still alive. He's 69 years old. According to JackLesker.com, he's done over TV and film over 1,200 TV episodes and 18 movies in his career. So there's that.
I don't know if any of them were good, though. So I have to go through that, comb through that filmography and that TVography, or whatever you want to call it, cartoonography. Anybody stand out in this episode for you one way or the other?
Not really, no.
Excellent, me neither. I'm going to be at a 2 once again on this one. What do you think?
Actually, I'm going up because I kind of have to at this point. 2.5. Like I said, it's better than the previous episode.
I thought about 2.5. For me, both the last episode and this episode are so similar that I'm kind of just in the same boat. But I'm definitely not in the same boat with this next episode. So let's take a break. Get back to the worst episode of the day, episode 48, The Bride of Slushhead, coming up next.
Next.
All right, last episode up today, episode 48. I'm not getting this name wrong here. The Bride of Slushhead. Again, written by Jack Lesker. Mike, be positive, because I'm about to get negative.
Okay, so Bride of Frankenstein, Bride of Chucky, Bride of whatever. It's essentially the Bride of Frankenstein kind of thing. It's the for me, it's the most, even though it's rated lower than the Guns of Nordor, it's the most enjoyable episode out of these three specific episodes. Because it actually has a plot. It actually follows through. Because, again, they're basically copying off of Bride of Frankenstein or whatever sort of kind of thing. You know, you watch whatever. I don't. But, you know, people will watch, like, Bridezilla's or whatever on whatever channel that show's on. It's essentially that kind of a thing. What I liked about this, and there will actually be a picture in the post for this, He-Man doesn't dress up at all. He just wears his, you know... no shirt, blue pants, but Skeletor comes dressed in a tux, and there's an image of the two of them, and I'm like, Skeletor looks just awesomely, hilariously stupid, but it's just so over the top. It's more over the top than most WWE over the topness is. It was a hell of a lot more enjoyable than the previous two for me. Is it a great episode? Hell no. Is it going to get a high rating? Oh, hell no. But at least it was a breather point for me. Because normally, after, like, I remember specifically some behind the scenes for you folks. I messaged Optimus Solo at like 4 a.m. Okay, I've watched the first two episodes for episode 98. I now have to go cleanse my palate with Knight Rider, because Knight Rider comes on every morning. The classic Knight Rider comes on every morning on the El Rey Network between 5 and 7 a.m. Because, oh my god, those first two episodes were just so horrible. So by the time I got to this, I was like, okay, this is a kind of fun, cool thing. It's not the worst thing this show has ever done yet. Now, Mr. Negativity, everybody.
you must want something different out of your He-Man than I do, I guess. I don't understand any of that. Like, I could see maybe them trying to pull off something like this in She-Ra, where, and I'm not saying it to be, I don't know, whatever. But I'm just saying that there was a lot of female characters in that show. And you're trying to gear that show towards a female audience. One thing that females tend to think about when they're younger is weddings, getting married, et cetera, more so than men on average. Mm-hmm. So I could get that they could try to have worked that into the plot where you had somebody in the rebellion that was that had a love interest or that was at least considering getting married or something of that nature.
Let's
like,
say,
yeah, glimmer. Like that would have made sense. I could have bought it in that context. We're currently doing He-Man in space. All right, so we have He-Man, we have robots, we have scientists, and we have mutants. And they decide that they want to have a wedding episode for this cartoon for boys. And then, instead of picking somebody that would make sense, they went with Slushhead, who is not only a villain, he is a mutant. And he has never had any type of interaction with anybody outside of other mutants, Skeletor, etc., in the entire series, which we've been through a lot of episodes so far.
Right.
Damn near 50. So you've had no setup that these characters even exist in the same world, that there's even the possibility that there's a love interest or anything of that nature, and you're going to create it with both a villain and a mutant like Slushhead. All right. Then you're going to make the episode be centered around this wedding in which both villains and our heroes are both in attendance.
Right.
Because it's like, hey guys, time out from this ongoing war and battle we have for life and death and the future of the civilization. We're getting married, so let's all be friends, let's attend, let's eat food and dress up and act nice for one day because it's a wedding. Okay? First of all, this is not the Civil War where thousands of people have been killed and it's Christmas Day and you guys make a temporary truce for a day, which happened. You know, that type of thing happened and you decided, hey, we're not going to shoot at you. You're not going to shoot at us just for one day. You stay on your side. We'll stay on our side. Let's celebrate Christmas and then we'll kill each other tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That did happen. However, they didn't cross the lines and have dinner with each other. They didn't interact and mingle with each other and be friendly with each other. That did not happen.
It's more focused on Slushhead and his bride, whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah, I didn't even write it down. But so you create this hideous bride for Slushhead, first of all. They had actually created a bride for Slushhead just for this episode. Then you allow a man to do the voice of the bride. Because that's clearly a man doing that voice, which is off-putting, and then we're gonna have situations where He-Man and the rest of the good guys are intermingling with the bad guys. Like that makes absolutely no fucking sense. And then they try to be slick, they try to be clever, and they're like, we're gonna do this, like we're gonna break the fourth wall type thing. And one of the scientists or something at one point says something about like, this isn't a movie or something.
Yeah, this is a
cartoon. This is a cartoon, and I almost vomited. Like that's not clever. You acknowledging that you're in a cartoon in He-Man is not clever. You're not Animaniacs. You're not Pinky and the Brain. You're not Looney Tunes. You're not any of those types of things. You're not on Adult Swim. Like, I don't need He-Man acknowledging that they're a cartoon. So that's bad. Then you have Slushhead even like coming at the end of the episode and trying to be like, oh, thanks for saving our wedding and saving this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. So the only way that this episode's even close to being okay, even by 1%, is if Slushhead does not appear in the rest of the series.
I know, right?
Because if you go on and never acknowledge the fact that he has a bride at home or a bride with him or anything like that or that he even got married, then I'm going to be even more angry than I already am.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about this episode. It basically does the Michael Bay, Shia LaBeouf, Sam Transformers thing, where they build him up, they give him all this character, and then by the next thing, they take it away. So we don't know if that's going to happen, obviously. It probably will.
I guarantee
will.
It's going
to. Oh, it probably will. I'm not saying it's not going to. I'm saying as of this moment, because you and I have not watched ahead, because we enjoy our weekly torture that is the New Adventures of He-Man. What I'm saying is, the reason why I like this, besides being the whole fun aspect of it, is that they actually gave me a reason to like Slushhead. They actually gave that guy... I've never cared for the character. I hate his voice. It's a merman knockoff. I absolutely despise it. But this episode actually made me like the guy. And
I don't buy my villains wanting to get married to anybody. Not in this type of setting. Like, I get the good guys would, but that's something that goes against the character of villains in general. You're not gonna have a love interest because the only person you care about is you. The only thing you care about is winning money, et cetera, et cetera. So a villain's gonna have like a mistress or you know, somebody like that. They're not gonna have a wife. Mm-hmm. At least not in this setting. So I just don't like it. And then, Mike, what's one of the worst things that you could possibly do at the end of an episode for me in a cartoon?
Single tear?
A single tear. They don't do that here.
No,
they... the second worst thing, I think.
I know.
So they have a star formation of a heart in the air. And again, I wanted to break my computer. If it wasn't somewhat new, I may have done that. I honestly wrote down that this may be the worst single episode of a cartoon I've ever seen. This is in the running for sure for the worst He-Man-related episode I've ever seen out of all a gazillion episodes we've watched so far of He-Man, She-Ra, and the New Adventures. It might be worse than anything I saw in Mask.
Oh, come on now. That's a tall order. Come on now.
If I had to pick like the top 10 worst cartoon episodes I've ever seen, I would nominate this at least to be in the conversation. That's this bad. Mm-hmm. I can't stand any of it. I give a Havoc staff the biggest one that you could possibly build by the person that builds Thor's hammer. Build me a Havoc staff that I can hit Jack Olesker in the face with, because this is garbage. Why would you come up with this episode? Why do you think guys want to see the Bride of Slushhead? This is stupid beyond stupid. So that's my take on it. I give this one a zero.
Yeah.
That might be the first zero I've ever given out.
Yeah, my final note. At first I thought this was, oh my god, another scientist episode, and then I realized what it was going to be. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, that ending, though, a heart in the stars with a shooting star through it. Oh my god, come on. I'm not going to, like, is this your first zero?
I think it might be.
For this series, anyway. For New Adventures. I can't. One and a half. There is just part, like, I wasn't going to sit here and rate it a five, because I'm pretty sure you'd kick me off my own podcast and you'd start doing all the work yourself for the editing and whatever else. But here's the thing. As I've said repeatedly at this point, I could just sit back and watch this and enjoy what was happening because of the plot that Skeletor and the mutants were trying to do, basically sabotage the wedding kind of thing. And it was better than the two previous episodes, even though I rated the Guns of Nordor a 2.5, because it's very middle ground, almost bad, and obviously the first episode for me is really fucking bad. This was just like, oh, this is like one of those things, and I know Movie Revolt Dan and everybody else who probably listens to this hates this line. This, to me, is the only episode of The New Adventures of He-Man where I can just turn my brain off and just enjoy it and not have to think about anything. Still, yeah. It's a 1.5, though.
Still a zero for me. So that's it for this episode. Let's take a quick break and come back to wrap this thing up and put a bow on it.
Kid? Yes. Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kid?
Yes, Michael? just keep driving.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Get ready for action-packed excitement as the most powerful man in the universe comes to television in a fantastic world of dragons and sorcery. Join He-Man and the Masters of the Universe right here Monday through Friday. They'll be coming your way soon. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
We are back here inside the Powers of Grayskull series, Masters in Space. Was there, like, not counting episode 100, like 9 episodes left of this shit? At least of new adventures? Oh my god. It's crazy, folks. It's just crazy. Thank you for listening to the Masters in Space today. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Huge thanks to Toon Master Tim, who has been commenting again, even though he needed a break from watching the series. We need a break too, you know. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. At geekcastradio is the network Twitter. Mine is TFG1Mike. You can also follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show. What is your Twitter, sir?
Mine is at Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We actually have some feedback from Arch Designs, a.k.a. Reyna, so we're going to cut to that now, and we'll come back to respond after this.
Hi, Kevin and Mike. This is Arch Design, a.k.a. Rania. I just heard your shadow on your latest podcast, and I was so excited. I wasn't expecting it. I'm kind of kicking myself because I've been listening to the podcast for at least a couple of years, and I have never rated or reviewed any podcast that I've listened to, and I listen to a lot. And then I was like re-listening. I think I've listened to all of the episodes at least twice, and some of them more than once. Just, you know, when I'm working or I'm just trying to chill out, because I love your podcast and I love listening to you guys talk about He-Man and anything Masters related. And then I realized to myself, I'm like, Jesus, I really like this podcast. I should, the least I could do is do a rating for them. It's the least I could do, because these guys, what they're doing is actually bringing a lot of joy and fun into my life, and that's why I ended up doing it. And now I'm kicking myself that I didn't do it earlier, because I missed out on maybe engaging with you guys on when you started She-Ra. I think I started listening just when you started She-Ra. But anyway, a little bit about me. I think I'm probably smack in the middle age-wise between you two. So we grew up watching probably the same Saturday morning cartoons. I was never really a big girly girl, so I tended to really like watching cartoons that were geared towards boys. But I also watched girl cartoons. I like those as well, but it always frustrated me that girl cartoons were just super hyper feminine and very girly and about clothes and looking pretty and all this over the top stuff. And so, but I loved He-Man, and I loved He-Man for all the same reasons you guys talk about. The transformation, I remember the first time I saw He-Man transform, and it was amazing, and it is something that is vivid for me and like always gets me excited when I watch it. And this is gonna blow Mike's mind. I loved Teela. And let me tell you why I loved Teela. Teela was the only cartoon character that, as a little girl, I was watching that wasn't wearing a pretty pink dress, didn't have long blonde hair, wasn't giggling all the time. And she was, like, strong. She held her own with the guys. She wouldn't take any bullshit. And I loved her. She was kind of an inspiration to me. So it kind of boggled my mind when I heard you guys and how much you disliked Teela, because Teela was an icon to me. I mean, I think I liked the three characters I loved on He-Man were Cringer, of course. I mean, he's amazing. The comedic relief is absolutely awesome with Cringer. And then I think my second favorite is Teela, and then third was He-Man, in that order. So I know you both, especially Mike, really liked Cringer. I think he was your number one when you did the breakdown, but ironically, my number two is Teela, and Mike hated Teela. So I just wanted to tell you guys, it's funny how you talk about how annoying she is and she nags Adam, but I remember growing up how I thought Adam was being such a brat when he was lying down and taking it easy and everyone else was working, and he just seemed so entitled, and I could never figure out if it was an act, if it was supposed to be an act that Adam really wasn't that way, and it was kind of part of his way to disguise his identity as He-Man, or if he really was this lazy, privileged guy. I mean, granted, it was a small percentage of his personality. He wasn't like that all the time. Most of the time, he was a nice guy and pretty dependable. But I always got so annoyed when he was being lazy, and, you know, I sided with Teela. I'm like, get off your friggin' ass and go do your work. But, you know, again, it depends. Was that an act to throw everyone off on his identity, which I could forgive and I could look past, or was that really Adam? I have no idea, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think about that. But anyway, yeah, Teela was amazing. She really was the only female character I could look up to, because I was that girl. I liked to play with the boys. I, you know, wasn't really into all the girly things. I mean, I didn't hate them, but I wasn't super into them. And, you know, I loved Teela. And it wasn't till later that more female characters like that started appearing. And I remember She-Ra coming, and how excited I was about She-Ra, but I don't like the She-Ra show as much as I like He-Man. I agree with you guys in the sense that I always loved the crossover episodes, and I think part of the reason I love the crossover episodes is those episodes tended to be more like the He-Man episodes. And I just remember, especially later on in the later episodes with She-Ra, they got too girly for me. I was like, oh my God, they're totally falling into the stereotype of what girls want. And it just got a little annoying for me. I liked it more when they were neutral about it and not trying to push the girl angle so much. I also agree with you guys about Bo, and how I didn't like how they would demasculate him all the time. I agree that just if you're being girl power and trying to lift up women, there's no reason to like push down men. I thought that was a strange, hypocritical perspective. I would have liked if there were a couple more male characters in She-Ra and they weren't like belittled as often as Bo was, but yeah, what else about She-Ra? I did love She-Ra. I found that show very empowering. It meant a lot for me as a girl growing up. But in terms of which show I liked more, I definitely liked He-Man more than I liked She-Ra. But I appreciated She-Ra the character more in terms as a girl and looking up to someone that's a woman that is empowered and, you know, trying to do good in the world. I love that. Let me think. Oh, I never watched the He-Man in Space episodes ever. I actually didn't even know they existed. I don't know how I missed that. So it's been really cool hearing you guys review them. And I have watched maybe 4 of the first episodes of the series, but I wasn't like sitting down and watching them with 100% attention. I usually am like working or doing something while I'm watching the episodes, but I don't hate them. I think I'm intrigued because, you know, it's He-Man related, and for that reason, I just find it interesting. It's always really interesting to see someone take something that already exists and something that's so wonderful and kind of do a spin on it. So for that reason, I don't absolutely hate it. I appreciate it for what it is. It's definitely the quality in terms of the animation and the voice acting, you're right, is not up to par. But it's okay. I mean, I don't dislike it and hate it as much as I think you two do. Would I ever watch the whole series? No, I'm not. I don't think I would, just because I'm not passionate about it. But I love listening to you guys review it. I'm definitely going to listen to every one of those episodes. And I appreciate you doing the work for me. let me think. But maybe I'll try to force myself to go through it just to say that I've watched everything. I also remember the He-Man movie. I remember going to see that in the theaters and how excited I was. I have to be honest, I've only watched that movie once, and it was only in the theater. I don't know why I've never watched it again. Maybe I should go watch it again just to like remind myself of it. But I do remember when I did go watch it in the movies, I loved it. It was exciting. And I remember I was disappointed that I didn't find He-Man attractive. weird little girl side note. But yeah, I think that's it. If you guys want to ever talk more, you could reach out to me. I'd love to be part of the podcast if you want me to be part of the podcast. I'm glad I finally got to tell you guys some of the things I've been thinking, because like I said in my review, I've always wanted to like talk to you and give you my angle on a lot of stuff, because I feel like it was so interesting to hear your angle, because I've never actually talked to anyone about He-Man before, because the one I know loves it like I do, so I just don't talk to anyone about it. It's, you know, I watch episodes every now and then for fun, and I geek out on it, and it's just kind of like this private thing that I've never shared with anyone, so I think that's why I love your podcast so much. I feel like I get to hear other people talk about something that I love so much. And that's why I was like, damn, I wish I could talk to them about it, especially because it's interesting for me to hear the male perspective and how you guys viewed it. And there's a lot of parallels, but there's definitely some huge tangents that I was surprised with, especially in regards to Tila. But that's it, guys. Again, my name's Rania. I love what you do. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much joy it's brought into my life, as dorky as that sounds.
So, hooray for that little bit of difference.
Hey, you two, knock it off.
Orko, what are you doing here?
Trying to sleep.
Orko, you've been asleep in the back seat all this time?
Yeah, I hope I didn't miss anything exciting.
All right. right, so that was Raina with her call in about her feedback from not only this series, but all the different things we've been doing here at Powers of Grayskull. We definitely appreciate you getting in touch with us. You obviously mentioned that you've been listening for a long time and finally got around to interacting with us, and we definitely appreciate that. Mike, what did you think about what Raina had to say?
It's very in-depth, very, very dedicated fan. Who knew we had fans this dedicated to us? I mean, we're just people.
I know, but I definitely appreciate it. She said, obviously, that she very much enjoys the podcast, that it brings some joy into her world and into her day, which if we have one person that works for and that lightens up their day, then we're ecstatic because, you know, obviously, like we've said multiple times, we do this mostly for fun and that type of thing. But if somebody else is enjoying it, that makes it even that much better. And I thought she had some interesting points I wanted to touch on real quickly. Mm-hmm. She had a question about, you know, Teela versus Adam, because she was a little bit more of a Teela fan than we were, of course. And I thought that was interesting that she liked Teela a little bit more. She was commenting about how she viewed Adam a little bit as a brat, or a little bit as a kind of the same type of complaints we had about Teela. And then she said, well, but maybe, I don't know if that's how Adam is, or if Adam's putting on a show, and she was asking for our interaction or reaction to that comment. And my reaction would be that I think that was 100% a show by Adam. I think he was definitely playing that part as to be as far removed from the He-Man persona as possible so nobody could make that connection. So I definitely think he was acting that way on purpose, and that's not a general... that's not how Adam was as a person. Like, he was acting a little bit more... naive, a little bit immature. He was acting a little less intelligent, but I think all that is acting. I don't know. What did you think about that?
Here's the thing. It's kind of like the Batman Bruce Wayne thing, where Batman is the man and Bruce is the Bruce Wayne is the mask. Bruce Wayne is the pretender, because he's gotten to that point in his life where I'm the goddamn Batman. It's just his whole life at this point. With Adam and He-Man kind of a thing, it's a little bit more gray, because Adam does also have to be his own person. But he does have to, as you said, act like he's a moron so He-Man can succeed. But we've seen over the last 5-6 years we've been doing this podcast, reviewing all 130 episodes of He-Man, She-Ra, hashtag not my He-Man, not my Skeletor, and this, for New Adventures, that, you know, he does have those episodes where it is just Adam. Up until the very end or something.
So, right.
Yeah.
But so that was my reaction on that. She was also interested to see that she liked He-Man a little bit more than She-Ra. And she said she's only watched about, you know, 4 episodes of the New Adventures, and she hadn't been convinced to watch. So she appreciated that we were doing that for her. She also mentioned that she's listened to most of the podcast episodes more than once. So she said probably all of them at least twice so far. So
very cool.
I can't believe you can listen to Mike talk that much. But
I can't believe you listen to Kevin just be Kevin that much. Like, well, I mean, somebody send in Harry and
that's
Marv.
Why she's listening twice. I don't think so.
No.
The sweet vocal renditions
right.
of Optimus Solo is where that's coming. Uh-huh. So, but we definitely appreciate you listening.
That ego is really filled with a lot of hot air this week,
that.
Isn't it? You know.
Anyways, getting back to Raina here. We appreciate that you finally reached out to us, the review on iTunes that you left, the voicemail, all that type of stuff. Keep up with the contact here going forward. Definitely let us know how you're thinking about things once we get to the 2000 series as well, because we love interacting with the fans, and the more we hear from you guys, the easier it is for us to do our jobs.
Absolutely. One last thing before I finish the close out here. I know Kevin isn't into this, but Funko Pops are the new Mighty Mugs, essentially. They're basically vinyl figures. Funko is a company that basically does all kinds of, like, if you like a character, I'm sure there's a Funko Pop of it. And I found the Masters of the Universe Funko Pop television series. They have Battle Armor He-Man, Battle Armor Skeletor, Evil-Lyn, Merman, Orko, Stratos, and Beastman. I have Battle Armor He-Man and Skeletor and Evil-Lyn. Both He-Man and Skeletor have their respected accessories for their battle armor. Like, they have the battle armor chest, but they have the axe. He-Man has the shield and the axe. Skeletor does have a little mini Havoc staff, which is very, very, very cool. Evelyn has her traditional staff that she usually has, and she's got, like, the spell-casting hand. So, very, very cool that Funko Pop has embraced the Masters of the Universe. I may end up getting Optimus Soul there, an Orko, for his birthday this year.
That's funny.
Orko and Merman fight to the death.
Merman wins.
Well, duh. All right. We hope you enjoyed the Space Tales today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of The Crappy Adventures of He-Man, which are The Dreadinator, Mutiny on the Mothership, and Rock to the Future.
Wait. I think it's supposed to be Dreadinator. Like the Predator, but Dreadinator.
Whatever, I don't know. They're just copying one more friggin' thing. And Rock to the Future, or Rock into the Future, or whatever. Like, ooh, it's Mega Man meets Back to the Future. Because all I think, when I see Rock and then Future, all I think of is Rockman, which is the Japan version of Mega Man. Or the original Mega Man name.
You would.
Anyway, for now, I am TFG and Mike with
the ever-pleasing vocal cords of Optimus Solo.
You want to close that out properly?
For the honor of Grayskull and the power of the magic and the way of the Force.
Whatever.
Other things we're knocking off.
Who the hell knows?
Till next time.
Till next time, everybody. See you soon.
Wake me when it's over. I'm going to get my beauty sleep.